What separates genius from mere intelligence? Perhaps it's the willingness to see the world as an endless playground of puzzles. Richard Feynman wasn't your typical Nobel laureate. He cracked safes at Los Alamos, played bongos in strip clubs, and spoke fluent gibberish that convinced people he knew Italian. His memoir has captivated millions, from Bill Gates to Elon Musk, not because it explains quantum physics, but because it reveals something more valuable: how to approach life with relentless curiosity and intellectual honesty. Feynman's journey from a Depression-era kid fixing neighborhood radios to revolutionizing physics shows us that brilliance isn't about knowing all the answers. It's about asking better questions and never accepting anything at face value. During the Depression, 11-year-old Feynman became the neighborhood fix-it hero, working from a wooden packing box laboratory where he'd occasionally set his wastebasket on fire, experimenting with crystal radios. His reputation soared after he fixed a noisy radio by simply rearranging tubes, having diagnosed the problem through pure logic. The amazed owner spread word about the boy who fixed radios by thinking. Unlike today's sealed technology, those early radios had visible, labeled components. Feynman could trace electricity's path and demystify what seemed magical. This hands-on exploration taught him nothing is beyond understanding if you refuse to be intimidated, a lesson that became his career's foundation. At MIT's Phi Beta Delta fraternity, Feynman discovered brilliance and mischief make excellent companions. His legendary prank involved stealing the second door from a room where studious brothers constantly yelled, "Please close the door." When later asked on fraternity honor if he'd taken it, Feynman openly admitted stealing the door, but nobody believed him. Feynman also mastered faking languages with perfect intonation. At his sister's Girl Scout banquet, he performed complete nonsense, mimicking Italian radio's emotional cadences. The girls laughed while adults seriously debated whether he'd spoken Italian or Latin. These antics revealed his gift for pattern recognition and refusal to be constrained by conventional rules. Feynman treated MIT's humanities requirements with disdain. He dodged English assignments by writing about social liberty instead of political liberty when assigned Mill, creating a parody On a Piece of Dust rather than analyzing Huxley, and penning On the Limitations of Reason about scientific problem solving instead of discussing Goethe's Faust. A fraternity brother's suggestion to claim Mephistopheles represented reason earned him a B+. Philosophy proved worse. Understanding nothing from the mumbling professor, he drilled holes in his shoe during lectures. Assigned a paper on the year's discussions, he remembered only stream of consciousness, sparking a 4-week experiment observing himself falling asleep twice daily. He discovered he could think through internal speech and visual imagination, eventually thinking about two things simultaneously. Most importantly, thoughts continue as sleep approaches, but become less logically connected. You maintain the illusion of connection until thoughts fragment completely. After graduating during the Depression, Feynman became chief research chemist at a tiny metal plating company despite zero chemistry experience. He experimented systematically, discovering methods to plate new plastics and reducing silver application from hours to minutes. Years later at Los Alamos, Frederick de Hoffman revealed they'd abandoned their English metal plating research, believing the impressive Metalplast Corporation was far ahead. De Hoffman was shocked to learn Feynman was the entire department. Princeton's graduate college mimicked Oxford with academic gowns and formal teas. At his first tea, Feynman requested both cream and lemon, prompting Mrs. Isaacart's, "Surely you're joking, Mr. Feynman," the phrase that became his memoir's title. Beneath this formality, Princeton offered what he needed, a gloriously chaotic cyclotron with wires everywhere and everything accessible. Working under John Wheeler, Feynman developed a revolutionary theory. Electrons act only on other electrons, with reactions coming from advanced waves moving backward in time. Their half-advanced and half-retarded potentials elegantly solved the infinity problem in classical electrodynamics. To Feynman's horror, Wigner invited Russell, von Neumann, Pauli, and Einstein to his first technical talk. Once focused on physics, his nervousness vanished. When Pauli questioned their theory, Einstein politely disagreed, noting only that adapting it to gravitational interaction would be difficult. Feynman's curiosity extended to biology. Viewing plant cells under a microscope, he immediately asked what made the chloroplast circulate, a question nobody could answer. When he named muscles during a presentation on cat nerves, classmates interrupted. "We know all that." He realized they'd wasted years memorizing what could be looked up in minutes, a lesson about the difference between knowledge and understanding. Feynman joined the Manhattan Project before finishing his degree and immediately exposed security absurdities. Censors puzzled over coded messages from his family, while top secrets sat in wooden filing cabinets, easily picked or tilted backward to extract papers. A critical issue emerged at Oak Ridge, where workers separated uranium isotopes without understanding the dangers. When Emil Segre questioned their practice of wheeling uranium nitrate solution in water, the Army resisted sharing information. They didn't realize neutrons become far more effective in water, making even small amounts dangerous. When Feynman presented his findings, Lieutenant Zumwalt told him to skip the physics and just give instructions. Feynman refused. Los Alamos couldn't accept responsibility without understanding the risks. His legendary safe cracking wasn't showmanship. He'd casually fiddle with open safes while chatting to determine two numbers, then later crack them by trying only 20 possibilities. This demonstrated that security based on secrecy rather than understanding is fundamentally flawed. After the war, Feynman joined Cornell for $4,000 a year, but fell into depression, convinced he'd burned out. Job offers from prestigious institutions worsened his anxiety until Bob Wilson assured him he was doing fine. Anything beyond that was a matter of luck. The pressure lifted when he realized he could return to playing with physics for enjoyment rather than importance. This shift led to a breakthrough when he casually observed a wobbling plate in the cafeteria. He noticed the Cornell medallion rotated twice as fast as the wobble rate. Working out the equations for fun, he showed Hans Bethe, who questioned its importance. "I'm just doing it for the fun of it," Feynman replied. This playful approach unleashed his creativity. Soon, he was working on electron orbits, the Dirac equation, and quantum electrodynamics. The diagrams that eventually earned him the Nobel Prize came from piddling around with the wobbling plate. In Brazil in 1949, he prepared a lecture in Portuguese for the Brazilian Academy of Sciences. When the first two speakers presented in English, he apologized for preparing in Portuguese, impressing everyone so much that the next speaker followed his example. During his sabbatical, he joined a samba school playing frigideira. His confidence grew when a new player was told to learn from O Americano. After joining Caltech in 1951, Feynman explored arts, mysticism, and sensory deprivation tanks, not to embrace pseudoscience, but to understand belief without evidence. At Esalen, when a man claimed to find a woman's pituitary gland by rubbing her big toe, Feynman noted he was a hell of a long way from the pituitary. He investigated Uri Geller's alleged psychic powers. In a controlled hotel demonstration, Geller failed completely. These experiences revealed what Feynman called cargo cult science, named after islanders who built fake runways hoping to attract supply planes. Cargo cult scientists follow scientific forms but miss scientific integrity, reporting everything that might invalidate your experiment, explaining contradictory facts, and leaning over backwards to show how you might be wrong. It's about not fooling yourself, your easiest target. Evaluating California textbooks, he found new math books riddled with errors and science books explaining energy makes it go for everything, a meaningless phrase teaching nothing. After winning the Nobel Prize, he considered refusing it due to the pump. In his acceptance speech, he explained he'd already received his prize in the pleasure of discovery. Feynman's life offers a different path, relentless curiosity paired with intellectual honesty. The greatest discoveries come not from chasing prestige, but from playing with ideas. Refuse intimidation, question everything, and never fool yourself.